please rise? Our finance director will lead us in the pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. So our city clerk is away getting more training and having a great time while he's doing it. So our deputy clerk, Marcus Cool, is back in front of the computer, and she will take the roll call.
She's better looking than he is, anyway. So
Councilmember Watson?
Present.
Councilmember Hanson?
Here.
Councilmember Olson?
Here.
Councilmember Ingram?
Here.
Councilmember Mushler?
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Here. Okay, all present and counted for. Good, council. Okay, next up is public comment period. This is the point where anyone from the audience can come forward and speak to the council at anything that is on, not on tonight's agenda. So anything you'd like to speak to the council about.
Tell about extra credit.
Quality of the dance at the school, why you waited so long to come see us. No
pressure.
Okay, so we'll get around with that. Okay, council, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved. Second.
Okay, moved by Councilperson Mutchler, seconded by Zimmer. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, next up is a series of public hearings, three in a row. Well, that's a clever way to do it. And our city clerk will talk to us about Ferndale Municipal Code 18.58, Retail Design Standards. Welcome, sir.
Hello. Hello, council. As the mayor indicated, there are a number of public hearings before you tonight. We have a handy-dandy spreadsheet. No, not a spreadsheet. This is a diagram. Diagram that should be relatively easy to follow because some of the proposals might not be as easy. We start off with Ferndale Municipal Code 18.58, and as you'll see in this, you don't have it yet?
It's coming.
As you will be able to see in this handout, Chapter 18.58 is a standalone. So what you do on this proposal does not have an effect on the other two public hearings that you're going to have tonight, or the other two items that you're going to have tonight. 18.58 is part of our code scrub that we're doing, going through the Ferndale Municipal Code and identifying those code sections that might be outdated, might be inconsistent, might just need general improvements. When we first created this code section back in 2006, actually, it was soon after the Pioneer Plaza development was proposed, and the city had one point of view at that time. The retail design standards are intended to dictate what retail should look like when it comes into the city of Ferndale. In 2008, we amended the code in a variety of different ways, and at that time, retail, like most other development, was in retreat. We didn't have any retail development that was proposed to go in. So in either of those two previous times, 2006 and 2008, the city was able to go forward with proposals that made sense to the city and the community. We didn't have the advantage, or some might say disadvantage, of having retail looking at the city of Ferndale seriously and saying what types of design standards make sense for retail development. Now, we do have retail that is interested in the city of Ferndale, and so we have benefited from those retailers taking a really close look at our code, getting a lot of free legal advice that city staff has taken with a grain of salt, and we've identified some areas that do require change and some areas that don't. We've provided to you the areas that we believe change could be an advantage to the city. For the most part, it's clarifying language, wanting to make sure that when and if a retailer came in, that the city would have clear expectations as far as the way that buildings and sites would look. Also providing the public with a clear understanding of what retail would look like. The chapters consist more or less of two sections. You have standards, which are general purpose statements that are mandatory. Then you have guidelines that are not mandatory, but they're intended to address that larger standard. So, for example, the city, and this isn't actually in here, the city could say, we want retail buildings to look nice. That's a standard. But a guideline could be, we want to make sure that retail buildings are not painted pink and purple. That's optional. We think that a pink and purple retail building probably wouldn't look as nice, but maybe it would. We want a building to be articulated and modulated. Those are guidelines, and they're generally more specific than the standards are. So for the most part, there are no changes or only minor changes to those standards and guidelines, with the exception of one that has to do with the parking or the vehicle drive aisle directly in front of the front entrance of the building. Back in 2008, the city proposed something and actually put in place a code that said that there shall be no vehicles in front of the front entrance of a building. We have now heard from our transportation consultant, various development consultants through our planned action, as well as potential retailers who said, we understand what the city was trying to get at as far as pedestrian safety and minimizing the potential conflicts between pedestrians and motorists, but simply saying no vehicles in front of the front entrance is a relatively blunt instrument that may or may not fix the problem. So rather than that, what staff has proposed and Planning Commission has unanimously supported it is language that explains in greater detail what we expect for the standard, not just no vehicles, but the pedestrian vehicle safety. And then it provides a number of different guidelines, some or all of which could be applied to a development, or a developer could come in with a proposal that we haven't even thought of. Your staff is not an expert at designing parking lots, and we did not want to put staff in a position of dictating what a parking lot should consist of beyond it being safe for pedestrians and motorists. As I said, the Planning Commission supported this unanimously and actually said that they felt that the proposed language was better than the existing language and actually addresses the issues that they wished to have resolved much better than the original. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have, and I would like to mention one thing that Councilmember Mutchler pointed out. In all of these, there may be references to the zoning administrator or planning director. If there are still some of those, what I will do tomorrow morning is do a word search, changing those to community development director. Sorry.
Okay, so, Council, this is a public hearing, so questions are a technical nature of staff, not related to your opinion, since we have not opened or closed the public hearing. Councilperson Mutchler.
Your Honor, I'm trying to understand no vehicles parked out front, because I haven't seen the model that you were thinking of in years past, because technically there's going to be a vehicle out front. It may be 400 feet in front, or it may be 40 feet. It's just a matter of distance from the vehicle to the store. Is there something else entailed in that design?
The way that the code reads and the way that it was intended was that there should be no vehicle travel between the front entrance of the building and the parking lot, so that a shopper could leave the store and walk directly to the parking lot without needing to work around cars that were also.
So would I be incorrect if I said another way of saying that is we don't want any egress or entrance or exits to a parking lot between the parking lot and the store? That all entrances and exits to the parking lots have to be on the sides of the back.
Just imagine
kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, Higgins without traffic right across the front of the store.
Or Costco,
where you can't drive right out in front of the store.
Or Pittsburgh or Michaels or Best Buy or any other place you can get squashed.
The thing is what the city had proposed is what we've heard from retailers is something that really hasn't been tried before in any jurisdiction, and the argument was that it hasn't been tried because it wouldn't actually make things safer. This is from the retailer's argument that it could, by preventing vehicles in front of the front entrance, there would not be a pedestrian vehicle conflict there, but it would be merely pushing that pedestrian vehicle conflict somewhere else. From staff's perspective, at least originally, it was just because something hasn't been tried before, someone has to be first in trying things, and why not Ferndale?
Let's, so the public can kind of understand what we're talking about. If you think about the Ferndale Hagens or the Costco of Dillingham, basically everybody's main traffic flow is like this or this way in front of the Costco or the Hagens. So this is the main traffic flow, and then this is where the pedestrians come out. And Costco doesn't even have it. At least Hagens has kind of a safe lane that you can appear. Where we'd like them to look at their parking lots where they, instead of having this, we eliminate coming this, and you come into a park lot halfway. So you kind of decide where you're going to park rather than go here.
Goodman. To say this hasn't been tried, where I used to live, the Costco there was the exact same setup as Hagen is here. And our city, we put made them put bollards there so that the handicapped spots could come out of the handicapped spots and go into the store without having to worry about traffic. The bollards were removable, so in case the fire department or something had to get in. So if a retailer is telling you that they haven't tried that to block the entrance, it has been, and it was very successful and eliminated a lot of the pedestrian incidents in front of the store because I was involved with the police department at the time. So,
I think we can share that we know that, you know, Costco has told us, look, we would never have a store like Bellingham ever again. And they say, you know, we have to defend ourselves is that when we built the Bellingham Costco, the PetSmart wasn't there. And it wasn't so much as a main thoroughfare. Now people are going through because they're going to two more stores, and then they're connecting with a traffic light. And said, so, you know, that's, we would never do that today. We would never allow that. We designed something different. They don't like it either. And so, you know, every retailer said, we understand what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. We understand that too. I mean, they listen to their customers more than we do. They understand when customers are frustrated. They want happy customers. So any more questions? Councilperson Zimmerman?
I was just going to reinforce what the mayor was saying. If you put a couple large points right here, as you come out Costco, there's these big old pillars right here. People kind of dodge in and out. There's maybe just enough sidewalk on the outside of those pillars. People stepping off. It's just a really dangerous thing. Like the mayor says, you know, they realize that it's a ergonomic mistake and they're not going to try doing it again. So I think we're all on the same page. They want to do the right thing.
Well, and what we've heard, too, is just the extent to which these have evolved, where back in the early mid-90s, the whole big box concept was still evolving, and they, like we, learned from mistakes in the past. And what we've been reminded several times is if parking lots were inherently dangerous, or if they were not dangerous but just inefficient, people are going to not use those stores. And I think that we can all probably name a couple, maybe even the Costco in Bellingham, that people no longer shop because of the difficulties or perceived dangers in there. So it is not a business advantage to have an inefficient parking lot or a safe parking lot for that matter. And that's, I think, what we have tried to incorporate into these changes.
Okay, any other questions, technical nature of staff? Okay, seeing none, we'll open up the public hearing. For the public, I'm going to read the rules and regulations on public hearings. This will apply to three public hearings. There's no sense repeating this set of statements three times in a row. A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in their decision-making process. If you intend to speak, it is necessary to sign at the sign-up sheet that we have available on the counter up front. If you're not signed up, you still would like to speak, we'll go through anyone that signed up. No one signed up. So if you wish to speak, raise your hand and we will slot you in. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Proceed to the speaker's rostrum, the microphone. Clearly state your name and address. So if you're speaking as a representative for another person or organization, so state. State whether you're a proponent, opponent, or neither. Limit your comments to 3 minutes. After all comments are heard, if you have something to add that has not already been stated at the discretion of the mayor, you may be given an additional 2 minutes. There will be no demonstration during at the conclusion of anyone's presentation. During the public testimony period of the public hearing, the council, staff, and audience remain silent. After your presentation, council members may wish to ask you questions. After the last person has spoken, the hearing will be closed and the council will enter a regular session. These rules are intended to promote an orderly system of holding a public hearing to give every person an opportunity to be heard and ensure that no individuals are embarrassed by exercising their right to free speech. So this subject is about the Municipal Code 18.58, Retail Design Standards. So anyone would like to address the council? Okay, seeing none, I'll close the hearing at 6:15:41, and we'll go to staff. Council action.
I have no further comments, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, Councilperson Goodrich?
Is there anything in here about retrofitting existing properties? In other words, if we come up with a way to do a parking lot, can we go back to Hagen and say, hey, you got to put bollards in? I know we did it where I used to live. They did it at the Costco for the handicapped parking spots. We're in the middle of the property, a similar island type of thing that Hagen has. They said, okay, bollard off that little section there so people can come in and go up to either aisle and into the parking spot, but then you can free walk across the center there. I mean, down the road, is there anything to do that?
Well, Hagen's would be difficult because Hagen's will clearly tell you that this council made it worse because we connected a parking lot and connected to a traffic light. So, Hagen's is, okay, great. Complain at us. You made it worse, not us. So, boy, that'd be a tough retrofit. You know, people have said, hey, take them behind the store. Stores don't like traffic behind their store. There's things behind the store that are really
And all you off. Would be doing is, in the case of this, you're just blocking off just that one area where you can walk across from the handicapped parking spot, walk straight into the store. So you don't have the through fare, but you can come into that aisle from both sides. You just doesn't the traffic doesn't cross that one little section there to go in.
Well, two things. One of them, in our existing code right now, I believe it's chapter 18.76, which is parking lots. It does have a provision that if you change your parking lot by more than 50%, I believe it is, it might not be 50, it's some relatively high number, that the city can then require that it be updated to meet up-to-date standards. So if Pioneer Center, for example, were to do some very dramatic retrofits, the city could in theory say, you're doing those retrofits, you also need to improve your parking lot. But there's nothing in this code that would say it. I also want to remind council that the standard that we would have is more reflecting safety of the parking lot and is not dictating exactly what measures will be utilized to make it safe, so that a parking lot designer and applicant can come forward to the city and might say, I have chosen not to use any of your guidelines to make this a safe parking lot, but I have done this. So keep that in mind for this and all of the others. There are guidelines in here, some of which might have been the most exciting or very exciting and very specific things that a retailer would, quote unquote, need to do. They don't actually need to do those. They need to live up to the standards, and they don't necessarily need to do any of those optional guidelines, provided that those standards are met.
Councilperson Watson, then Metzler.
Just in regard to Councilmember Goodrich, I guess I'm more uncomfortable asking existing developments to change based on some new code. I don't know that we could even really do that, because someone's already built it, it's been there for years, and now to ask them, we've changed our code, you have to completely redo your parking lot, I don't know that we would even be able to do that, or if I'd even want to go down that path.
Well, during remodels, codes can be changed.
That's true.
People can adhere to them, particularly fire codes. Fire codes can change. They have the authority to make people change them.
But could you ask a store to completely redo their facade and parking lot because you got a new council in?
That's
a slippery slope.
If there was a safety issue, and
the
this
safety
comes
issue
up,
would be different.
Exactly. This comes up periodically. There's a safety issue. Mm-hmm. Safety takes paramount importance over everything else we do.
Councilperson Mutchler, then Ingram.
I have a question, but on Kathy's there, isn't there if it's remodeled like 110% expense to remodel 110% of the appraised value, then you can require current standards? Does that understand that?
It's
a significant remodel. You can basically say you got to follow current design standards. Yes or no on that?
Yes, and it varies depending on what it is, where just a nonconformity is lost more or less at a certain point where it then becomes, for all intents and purposes, a new facility.
That's what you're saying. You're unprepared to make a motion to change, revise 1858, but can you help us understand? You've given us two choices here. There's some Planning Commission recommendations. I don't recall what they were. So you've got two options of the motion here. I'm prepared to make either one, but would you tell us what those Planning Commission changes were?
That's correct, and I apologize that I neglected to note that the Planning Commission did authorize a couple of relatively minor changes to this section that we're talking about. And if you can go to page 151 and 152, I'm sorry, 150, staff recommends adopting the Planning Commission changes, and what they are is a slight rewriting of a couple of those paragraphs. We talk about conflict in the original language. We are proposing instead to promote coordination of the pedestrians and vehicles. It's maybe a little bit less negative term, but it comes to the same ultimate conclusions.
Okay.
So we are recommending that the Planning Commission recommendation be adopted.
And I'm prepared to make the motion that Council adopt Agenda Bill 2012-006, including the Planning Commission recommended changes.
Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Councilor Ingram.
I just wanted to make one maybe final comment on the Hagen issue. I don't think we could bear even remotely ask them to barricade that front. I understand what Councilman Goodrich's interest is there, but all of the nursery supplies for Hagen's are delivered in the front, not the back. So those delivery trucks have to be able to come through that area. Plus you've got the optometry, all their deliveries come in through the front. Grocery pickups are done in the front. Their parking lot works fairly well, and we were the ones that made it worse by putting that road in. Because you can't turn left out of that, you come out of Sonic, you got to go out one way or the other. You got to either go out by Walgreens, you got to go out by Higgins. So I think they.
It is noted that what we're talking about here, when. When Hagen's redesigned their parking lot, that's exactly what the kind of thing we're looking at, because more people now can enter the parking lot closer to the road. So
when I turn down by Chase Bank,
you're on the right pathway, Ferndale. Mm-hmm. That's what we try to do. We really want them to come in earlier and then distribute it. It's better for our traffic. So that's exactly what Hagen's was ahead of the curve. So any further discussion on the motion?
Just one more question. My impression of this in terms of our relationship with potential developers is developers want to know certainty. They don't want a decision left to a planning director or a bureaucrat. They want to read it and say, this is what's required. We don't want to have to go through the process and find out someone's going to change it because of a subjective word. And so my impression is this moves more towards certainty for the developer. Is that be a correct interpretation of where we're headed here?
Yes, I think that they do appreciate staff's ability to work within. There's going to be a gray area because no matter how much we say that they all look the same, every site is different and every building is different. And so staff's ability to work with them to apply clear standards is what they're after.
As opposed to guidelines.
Exactly.
In fact, there are less guidelines and maybe more standards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, next up is the public hearing on Ferndale Municipal Code 18.12, Development Administration.
Okay, and so now you get to look at your little chart here. This item, which is D, as well as item F, are related to one another, as well as an item that was on your consent agenda in Ferndale Municipal Code 15.04. The matter at hand right now, FMC 1812, is the administration and enforcement of our zoning code, which is Chapter 18, or Title 18, I should say. Title 18 has, over the years, been the kind of rules of the road of how to apply our different zoning chapters and the everything else that is administered by me and our department. But it has also become a title where when we can't figure out another place to put something, we kind of stick it into this section. It's a shed in the backyard. We stick it there and it doesn't really make sense, but it's there. It makes more sense in another place. But that can develop into inconsistencies. It doesn't necessarily follow the logical thought process in a lot of cases. So what we're proposing to do is less policy and more just kind of doing some spring cleaning and moving things out of Chapter 18.12. So, for example, we're proposing to take the building permit requirements out of Chapter 18.12 and put them in Chapter 15.04, which is building codes. Makes sense. We're proposing to take out the establishment of the Planning Commission and the Community Development Director and put them in Ferndale Municipal Code 2, which is going to be a topic of conversation in Agenda Item F. We're also talking about removing redundant home occupation language out of Chapter 18.12 and putting it into Chapter 18.14, or just killing that language, because Chapter 18.14 was created by the council in 2009. It's its own chapter dealing with home occupations. So the language in 18.12 is redundant. So there's a lot of moving parts. When you look at the chapter in here, you're going to see a lot of red lines and strike-throughs. It's pretty much a lot of noise there and a lot of strike-throughs where there's not really any or very many policy changes. Planning Commission supported it, recommends approval, so does staff, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Technical questions on this one? Seeing none, I'll open the public hearing at 6:27:51. Anyone from the audience would like to speak on this? Seeing all enthusiasts come forward, I'll close the public hearing at 6:28:01. Direction from staff, councilperson, or direction from council, councilperson Mutchler.
I move the adoption of Agenda Bill 1205-007.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Councilor Hansen. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, moving on. Public hearing on Ferndale Municipal Code 18.72, surrounding our fencing code.
Yes.
Probably a little more discussion on this one.
Yes. Currently, the Ferndale Municipal Code regarding fences is quite black and white, where within the front yard of residential homes, and for that matter, I believe all zones, the maximum height of a fence that you can have that is sight obscuring, a solid fence, is 2.5 feet within that front yard. So within 20 feet of the road, you can have no higher than 2.5 feet of a solid fence or shrubbery. You can be up to 4.5 feet if it's a picket fence and you can kind of see through it. To get larger than that, you have to be 20 feet back or more. What that has resulted in is some weekend warriors or others who are seeking privacy or seek to keep dogs in or kids in who want a taller fence are necessarily rejected by staff because they are proposing a fence too high, too close to the road. Either that or they would need to seek a variance where they more or less need to demonstrate that they're in a unique circumstance or that they're experiencing a hardship that they have not created themselves. what staff had proposed doing was introducing some administrative flexibility into that, wherein if there was not a life safety issue, if there was not a vision distance or vision clearance issue that would create that pedestrian vehicle conflict, staff would then be able to allow administratively, without going through that variance process, a taller fence. Staff had recommended that that be approved in order to grant that more, that administrative flexibility. And we brought it to Planning Commission, and Planning Commission has convinced staff to change our own recommendation, which is one of the reasons to have a Planning Commission, is to look at proposals and think them out. The Planning Commission's reasoning for voting unanimously to reject the proposal was not that increased flexibility was a bad thing, or that, for that matter, increased fence heights were necessarily a bad thing, but instead that more discussion, joint discussion and community discussion should be had. And their reasoning was that back when those codes were created in the 50s or 60s or 70s, safety was a factor, but so were the general aesthetics of the community, that the front yards in Ferndale were more or less open and inviting, so people could look into their neighbors' yards, not as a way of being a peeping Tom, but to getting to know their neighbors. And Planning Commission questioned whether that vision has gone away. If it has gone away, possibly consider just changing the ordinance absolutely, so that 2.5 feet fences, you wouldn't need a variance of any kind. You could go ahead and put a 6-foot fence. But Planning Commission pointed out that if that vision is still there, if the council and the city and the community really want that vision to still be adhered to, that having an ordinance that would allow flexibility as long as there wasn't a life safety danger would probably apply to most residences in the city of Ferndale, except for those residences on corners. And therefore, by creating what would appear to be a minor change in the code to allow administrative flexibility, could actually result in a fait accompli where the vision was changed without the city acknowledging that we've changed the vision. So for that reason, staff is recommending that at your next joint meeting, which is scheduled for July, I believe, the Planning Commission, Council, and the public get together and talk about that. So I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. We are recommending a vote for rejection. Is that the?
The Planning Commission's vote was a rejection of this ordinance to basically move it on and change it on a combined meeting. And lots of discussion, and there really are, it's an odd vote.
You can't have a negative vote. What you can do is refer to committee.
Their vote. Planning Commission did have a right to vote. We reject this proposal. So,
Robert's rules won't let you do that.
We can't
do
that.
But we, what you want to do is you either want to table it indefinitely, which means that until it's pulled off the table, it's dead, or you want to refer to committee.
Planning Commission would love to refer it. You could choose to go to committee and then go to joint meeting.
Absolutely.
I would like to point out that this does come up on a fairly regular basis, and we do encourage you to still have the public hearing. You would be required to have the public hearing. Where people are affected by this, and interestingly, they are affected by this through some of our road projects that we're dealing with. Which does create an interesting perspective where folks that currently have something that might be non-conforming or might have been built somehow in the future are having that taken away from them. And right now, those people who are losing something that they now have would not be able to get it or something similar back because of the code. It's another reason to have the discussion. It doesn't change our
purpose. Correct. Now, Council, technical questions, not opinions. We haven't had the public hearing. So technical questions on the ordinance. It's kind of a tough one. Okay, I think in terms of hands up, I have Councilperson Olson, Mutzler, and Zimmerman, and then Hansen behind that. So Councilperson Olson.
Maybe I'm wrong, so tell me if I am. We didn't discuss the Planning Commission's version. So are we discussing our version, then it's going to the Planning Commission, and then it's coming back to us in Council?
This, we have not changed the actual proposal, just our recommendation of it from Planning Commission. Planning Commission felt...
When did that happen? We didn't talk about that in committee, did we?
Which version was talked about in committee?
It's the same version. Planning Commission just had a different perspective on it.
That night after committee.
Yes. Correct.
That's what
correct.
I'm getting at. Thank you, John.
Correct.
That's backwards. We need to see it after they talk to it. Because why?
The committees do.
Yeah. The committee needs to see it last. It's almost like the Planning Commission is the one that's deciding it all of a sudden after we've already stopped talking about it in committee. And this isn't the first time I think this has happened. So I don't know what's getting crossed up, but
combination of dates this particular time.
Irregardless, we need to see it last, not first.
And staff absolutely agrees with that. In this case, since Planning Commission hadn't had an April meeting, it was an effort to get stuff through, but both Planning Commission and Council have reminded staff, keep that separation.
With that in mind, I'd like to make a motion to refer this back to committee.
Do they need to have a hearing?
1 second.
Well, we have to have a public hearing.
Why do you have to have a public hearing? You're not taking any action.
We'll have to have another one.
You're still going to have to have a public hearing if you change it later on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to do it again.
You're taking no action. It doesn't need to have a public hearing.
Advertise a public hearing is okay to.
There's no action this taken.
No action.
Oh, because that.
Because
vote,
they're
that,
referred
that
to
that. Vote. Okay. Right. So I have a second for that motion.
Second.
Okay. Discussion. So we vote on that, or we have to, we discuss that motion.
Okay. Discuss
discussion
that.
On the motion to table it.
No, refer to committee.
Refer to committee.
Refer to committee. Excuse me. Councilperson Metzler?
Just a request. There are so many different fencing issues and possibilities. It would be nice if when we get to the point of meeting with commission or committee, just we all kind of think of our own lot and our own issues, but there are quite a few different types of situations. It would be nice to have samples of everything in our consciousness.
Well, and the best thing is one of the Planning Commission members said it best. He goes, after the meeting, I drove around the city and I looked. And you look in terms of the Church Road example from Thornton to Heather, that's a backyard. But he says, you know, at one time, we regulated against that because it's a wall of fence. But those people have a right to have privacy in their backyard. The other suggestion was from this weekend is look what we're doing on Church, potentially someday on Church Road, where a sidewalk is going to be really close to people's homes, and on some cases that is a front yard. They may not have a front yard, but our technical definition is a front yard, and so we'd have a fence this high with somebody walking by and go, hi, there's your front room right there. And so it's they were correct, and if you drive around the city and start looking at it, you go, ooh, that's a little different. So the discussion will be is do we leave to have that a little more flexibility where we can have different regulations, because now it's a one size fits all. Mm-hmm. So that's a great thing, is we'll get you some language, but now that it's in your mindset, drive around and look and kind of go, ooh, that would be different. Another commission member said, you know, in terms of sloping, if my house is down low and you're doing that, I don't make, and then a 3-foot fence, people, you know, everyone looks down because of the angle. So it depends on the angle a lot, too. If it maybe was going up, it might be different. So it's not really, you know, we're not, now the fact that developers are maximizing lots, it's not a one-size-all-fits-all, and that's what we have now is one size fits all.
Is vegetation, which is solid, the same as a fence, which is solid?
So it's a different one. So. Councilperson
Mutchler? Yeah, I just also, having been at that meeting and as a liaison, I really want to commend Commissioner Tom Black, who I thought kind of zinged it in the right direction in terms of getting us out of the technical stuff where people are always concerned about their situation and just kind of pull back what is the vision for Ferndale. And I was just thought it was a tremendous contribution that Mr. Black made at that meeting, which is why I think we're going in the direction we're going in right now.
It is, but boy, take some time to drive around, because you think it's simple, and you drive around and you look at each home, so you go, You know, if I lived, I thought I lived directly on Church Road, I'd think differently today than I did yesterday. So. Okay, so motion to move to committee, Councilperson Zimmerman.
Another thing to add, Yuri, to add some simplicity. You know, a few, a year or so ago, when we had the dangerous dog ordinance, I'd like to see that adding another layer of complexity to it because, you know, the mayor's got a springy dog. He can jump over a 2.5-foot fence. And you get someone that actually may have a guard dog of some sort. We may want, for public safety, allow them to have a little taller fence, like, or something. I mean, that's part of the discussion that's coming up.
Build the dog guard of the backyard.
Okay, so your vote will be to move it to committee. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. So public hearing is beyond that. Solve that. Okay, not a public hearing. Fernald Municipal Code Title II, revisions to the Planning Commission, Board of Appeals, Community Development Director.
Okay. Let's see here. So the city attorney has gone through all of these changes, incidentally, and is supportive of all of them. One of the things that we see most especially in Ferndale Municipal Code 2, which is what we're talking about now, is that the Ferndale Municipal Code needs to clearly define and establish, and really clearly and clearly define and establish once various different boards, commissions, staff, so on and so forth, so that there is not a inconsistency, and I'll give you an example. Me, the community development director is right now defined as the zoning administrator, the planning director, the CEPA official, shoreline administrator, building official, critical areas administrator, and garbage collector, I believe. I have a number of different titles. And depending on who I am trying to get angry at me, I would need to technically right now sign it differently. You know, you need to remove your garbage, Yuri Burnett, garbage collector. You need to change your facade, Yuri Burnett, zoning administrator. If for some reason I decide to just sign it Yuri Burnett, community development director, it could create a situation where if appealed, they would say, you were supposed to sign this differently. How do we know that you are also he or them? So what we are proposing to do is establish a community development director in Ferndale Municipal Code 2 and include the various titles that I may or may not have, well, that I do have. There's none that I am not in there. That's one of them. Fairly straightforward. Not a policy change. It's just putting in one section what I am. The city administrator is in there. So are a number of different positions. So you can go to that one logical place, Ferndale Municipal Code 2, and see it. Same with the Planning Commission. Planning Commission is established actually in about four or five different places that may or may not have the same language in there. We are proposing to take the Planning Commission into Ferndale Municipal Code 2, and that's where it would be established. All other code sections where the Planning Commission has involvement would merely refer back to that one master section. Now, and we'll get back to Planning Commission in a second because there are three potentially separate motions that you can make because there are three ordinances. And Councilmember Mutchler has passed out something with the Planning Commission. But I do want to address Board of Appeals before we get to that. The Board of Appeals, as you know, talking at committee, is right now the City Council. It's you. The Board of Appeals is where appeals go regarding building construction. So if our plans examiner inspector say that you need to put a 4x4 post here, and if a builder thinks that a 2x2 would do and we can't get along and we decide not to go with a structural engineer, they can appeal that decision to the Board of Appeals, and that is required as part of our adoption of our building codes. The Board of Appeals is supposed to be a body that has construction experience. Staff, while we respect everything that the council does, cannot anticipate that you or future councils will have the construction experience necessary to make that judgment call. What we had proposed to you last week was instead of the council doing what many other some other cities have done, which was create a separate board. This one, as we had proposed, it would consist of the hearing examiner and then building contractors chosen at random. The committee didn't feel especially comfortable with that concept and asked staff to look at what other jurisdictions had done. We did a brief survey of other jurisdictions, probably about 20 other jurisdictions, and it appears that the larger cities do have a board of appeals consisting of contractors, architects, engineers, and they can do that because they generally have more population. They probably have more cause. There are more appeals made just because they have a higher volume. We saw the majority of cities of about our size go with just the hearing examiner, and that's what we're proposing doing here is identifying the board of appeals for the city of Ferndale as the hearing examiner, who has the construction expertise, also knows how to run a hearing, create a record, and issue a written determination. And we do that because we know that over the last 20 or even 30 years, there has never been an appeal before the Board of Appeals. We need to have a Board of Appeals. This is a logical way to do that, we feel, and so we're recommending approval. Going back to the Planning Commission really quick, staff right now is recommending that the language that that adopts the Planning Commission be ported over to FMC2 without change. The issue has been raised, though, that right now the composition of the Planning Commission makes no mention of residency, and there is a suggested alteration of language that has been handed out by Councilmember Mutchler, and I think that he would probably be best at explaining the purpose of that.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Snelson.
Two things. On the hearing examiner taking over the Board of Appeals, who would pay for that? We have to pay him, correct? Or is he on a retainer type?
No. Typically with appeals, and our illustrious city attorney who just walked in may be able to provide more insight. Typically with appeals, the appellant pays for the hearing examiner and the appeal fee. Which
is that in here, though?
The way that we would propose to have it in there is that any appeal, there would just be an appeal fee if it goes, because it's a public works appeal, a building appeal, a planning appeal, it's the same appeal.
Okay. So that would cover that.
That would cover that.
Okay. And my second thing is, as far as this has been out, this has not been to committee, and again, I assume this came from the Planning Commission discussion, and we didn't talk about this
information. And that has not been through Planning Commission either.
No.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion on this portion to be referred back to committee so that it can be discussed and come up with a recommendation for three.
I'm going to second that motion.
Okay, that's been moved to second. Discussion on that. Councilperson Zimmerman?
Let's back up and tagging on to Councilman Olson's comment. Okay, hypothetical situation. The guy comes to your board, your appellate, and he appeals it.
Point of order. We have a motion and a second on the floor.
We're gonna
speak to that motion.
Let's discuss in terms of moving the proposed amendment to 218.010. So we'll vote on that. So any discussion on moving that back to committee, and then we can basically discuss and vote on the remainder of Person Mutchler?
I support the motion.
Okay. Any further discussion? Now, this vote is for moving this back to committee. So just this portion.
Just this,
correct.
Just
the portion regarding Planning Commission.
Correct. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, so that motion carries. We no need to discuss that. We're moving that to committee.
Okay.
Now, Councilor Zimmerman, you are in order.
Because I kind of thought you were talking about, hey, who pays for this? Right?
The appeal.
Yeah,
which
appeal.
Would fund the building, the
right.
Hearing again.
Right.
Correct.
The appellant wins. Now who pays for it?
If the appellant wins and he was correct in his appeal, then our policy for them winning is that they could be refunded all or a portion of their funding.
Okay. They get it for free.
Yes, if the city was incorrect in its application of our codes, then yes, that is our general policy.
Okay.
So staff should endeavor not to be incorrect.
Right. Always. And now, am I under assumption that some of these appeals actually require legal services?
I don't know.
And if that's the case, that's an additional cost. Then what's our policy if he wins or this person wins?
Administrative?
Our legal representation would not be billed.
To them. Correct. Yeah. If we get an appeal that requires our legal services, Mr. Langenberg or his staff, the taxpayers of the city of Ferndale pay for that.
Well, I think you missed it slightly. But if this appellant brings, he has a legal expense, and it is determined that, yeah, he was in the right. So
there's a statute, RCW 6440, that provides for in the event of arbitrary capricious action on the part of the city, they can recover possible attorney's fees.
Okay.
Other than that, it is not the city's position, nor are there any other statutes that provide reimbursement of attorney's fees to appellant. And it's pretty difficult to establish under the circumstances that they would be entitled to attorney's fees under that statute.
But there is one statute you said that's all they need, right?
You were asking, though, or maybe I'm mistaken, you were asking if we needed legal representation.
No, no, if the appellant, the guy, because, he's shy, he stutters, whatever, he brings his lawyer, and all of a sudden, then it works out, and da-da-da-da. So there's other, about the cost.
Good question. Okay, Councilor Goodrich, and then Olson.
My question goes on to the hearing examiner, his role. I thought he was just a land use type thing. Does he have the background to do building codes and all that stuff as well? If we're into a structural issue, like you said, a 2x4 versus a 4x4 type of thing?
He does. Okay. He does. And if we find ourselves with another hearing examiner in the future, then we could either make that a condition of their contract, or we could relook at our code. But this hearing examiner does have that experience.
Councilperson Olson?
In my motion, I think I was remiss. I didn't say which committee it should go back to. Would that be planning and land use? Or, John, do you have a preference?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that would be almost.
Okay.
Okay, any other discussions about this? Okay. Councilperson Hansen?
Well, I'll put a motion on the floor to adopt the other two sections. It was a section regarding the Board of Appeals, and that would be for the hearing examiner to be that person, and to make all references to the community development director, including the garbage collector, be the I don't know, I want to take that out of the motion. But where the code lists other kinds of experts, that it be
consolidated
into the community director position, and so he only has to sign as the community director to make it effective.
Correct. And then we want to add a small little side note that due to budget constraints, we have no intention of issuing a new business card with all these titles.
No.
No,
and no additional salary. do we need this as two separate motions? Because it's two separate ordinances?
But they're going to the same.
Are they part of the same? I believe you can adopt the same agenda bill. I do want to point out that,
except the agenda bill, we've already taken part of the agenda bill and tabled it.
Actually, this wasn't part of the original agenda bill.
That was a
two separate motions.
So we haven't done anything with the original agenda.
No, exactly. Now, and our legal counsel has advised us to do separate motions for each ordinance. And I do want to clarify that I believe Councilmember Olson's was to not address the residency element of the Planning Commission, but the remainder could still move forward.
Correct.
So there would be three potential motions.
So would you like to help Councilperson Hansen in his?
The first motion I'll make is to make the community development director the signer for all technical issues that come under his purview.
So that's the first motion.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Further discussion on that? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Councilperson Hansen.
Second motion would be to have the Board of Appeals be listed as the hearing examiner.
Second. Okay, I have a motion and a second. Further discussion on that? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Councilperson Hansen.
And that the code, the Planning Commission be moved forward as per current language.
Second. Okay, motion and a second. Further discussion? Councilperson Goodrich.
Is there any reason not to move it forward if we're going to discuss this? I always hate doing things and a couple of weeks later coming back and revising what we did versus waiting and just holding off.
Well, it's
we're just moving it from one section to another. It's still going to be, if we don't do anything, it will still stay the same language. But it's in the wrong code.
But it is important to do it because in this case it is no longer in the wrong code because of your previous actions. So you do need, right now we don't have a planning commission. You really probably want a planning commission.
Okay.
I'd like to see
that. Yeah.
Okay. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Just like to clarify that for my purposes, you have adopted Chapter 2.18, 2.23, and 2.25 is written without any changes.
Correct.
Okay. Great. And then we'll move to the very next committee. Okay. Moving on.
Thank you.
The contract for the Main Street Stage 2 Construction Administration. Katie will present that.
Did that work?
Welcome.
Thank you. So in accordance with the city policy, Public Works advertised for a request for qualifications. We received three statements of qualifications. Two of those firms we invited back for the interview process. And we had an interview panel that, interviewed the two firms, and then they were able to present their statement of qualifications. And based on the information that was presented, not only in their written documentation, but also during the interviews and their proposals, we unanimously chose Reichart and Eby as the most qualified firm. So the way we're going to run Main Street is pretty similar to the rest of the construction projects. City staff will have a strong lead in the management portion. And so what we'll do is we'll utilize our consultants to provide, number one, inspection services, number two, surveying, three, materials testing, and then also provide the technical support that our staff members might not have as far as, you know, design, environmental issues, and that sort of thing. So basically what we're doing is we're requesting approval of a contract with Reichart and Eby and their team in the amount of $400,998.26.
Questions of staff? Councilperson Watson?
So is this just the cost, or do you do overruns or contingencies for that sort of contract?
It's an estimate. It's based on
how many hours you think it's going to
time. Time and not time and material, but number of hours and that sort of thing.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, Councilperson Goodrich?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the contract to Reichart and Eby for the Main Street project.
I'll second that.
Okay, seconded by Councilperson Hansen. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, motion carries 7-0. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck on that project.
When are you starting, Katie?
We anticipate construction to start early June, probably the 4th.
I know they're moving poles like crazy.
Yeah, it's good.
That's pretty exciting.
Even in the rain. Yep.
Even in the rain. They're out there digging holes in the rain.
Okay, moving forward on the agenda, mayor reports, city cleanup, the best we've ever had, more participation, more, stuff collected, more scrap metal, more more documents shredded, more volunteers. I was really pleased to see several high school students get their community service hours. So if you're looking for community service hours next year, this is like cleanup fun day. You get to do hours. You get a hot dog. Hang around with a bunch of fun people. Schedule your time next year, and we'll all really like you. So great. The Sunday, the church brought more people than ever, even in the rain. We worked through the rain, collected more weeds. I didn't realize they'd count their bags. They pulled more weeds, or either pulled them full of dirt to take this out. But they filled more bags of weeds than last year, so the competition is on. The food was better, and they saved a special piece of raspberry cake for the mayor, so that was a
good thing. Mentioned the scout troop.
Scout troops. We had the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts. The Cub Scouts did a great job. Small little hands for 10 seats. I'm sure our public works director will do it, but I'll jump ahead of her. Our traffic improvement plan meeting Wednesday the 23rd. The other one that I got notice of, and it's co-sponsored by the Ferndale Police Department, and it's called Ferndale Family Night. It's at Horizon School on the 24th from 6 to 8. Public is invited, and they'll be discussing social media. They'll have a gang presentation by a semi-famous Bellingham detective that focuses on gang prevention. Looks similar to the mayor, but the mayor is better looking.
His last name is Jensen, too.
Could be, yeah. Okay, and then the big one is, this will be my last meeting for a while. I'm meeting on the 28th. I'm not returning till July 3rd. Councilperson Hansen, by the time I come back, everything will be changed.
Am I then running three meetings for you?
You'll be running three meetings.
But he can't run the one where we might do things that might affect him. Because I don't want him in charge
Be a dilemma. Yeah. I'm sure that
I can
able-bodied man.
You can set it all aside.
No. I will. My powers as mayor pro tem will be to have a substitute chairman.
Oh.
There you go. Hopefully after 500 miles, I'll come back in a better way. Okay, so department reports. Finance director.
Nothing.
City administrator, nothing.
Nothing.
Public Works, I stole your thunder, but you want to remind them?
On Wednesday from 6 to 8, Public Works Open House, we'll have information on Main Street, Earth Road Project, the 6-year TIF, utility CIP. See you there.
Will there be snacks?
Cupcake.
It all revolves around the food.
City clerk,
our police chief is out of town, so nothing to report from him other than co-sponsoring this event Thursday, but we'll have to be there. Okay, council reports. Councilperson Ingram was first, I believe. No?
I was just going to double check with Janice. How many people were we talking about Wednesday afternoon?
Councilperson Zimmerman?
I was going to mention the meeting on the 6th. It's a kind of a communication advisory thing up at Horizon. It's a school, but based on all the closing down of Mountain View, new boundaries, all kinds of stuff, they thought a nice public meeting. So it's going to be June 6th at 7:30
at Horizon.
I thought it was
Cascadia.
I just want to put out that I may not be at the June 4th council meeting. My wife is having knee replacement surgery that day, and depending on how she feels or whatever, she may not even realize I'm not there. No, actually, they by the afternoon, they get him up and walking. Her surgery is at 11 o'clock, and by the afternoon, early evening, she'll already be up walking around on the new knee. So.
Those
city
wishes
were
well.
Yes. So I'll let somebody know for sure. But.
Okay.
Let the mayor put them know. Okay. Councilperson Hanson.
You can let the clerk know. You don't have to let me know. I want to reiterate what Gary said about the success of the cleanup. Bertolo was in charge of Saturday, at least. And I want to publicly apologize to Lloyd. We ran out of hot dogs, one hot dog before he got one. And he was the only one that really, I mean, I could have limited one of the Boy Scouts and told him that, five will be enough. You know, you can't have the sixth one because we know Lloyd is still coming, but we didn't. And he got the sixth one and Lloyd didn't get one. But other than that, it was, of course, we had a beautiful sunny day. I think everybody that participated on Saturday was wildly happy with the success.
Great.
And so I extend my congratulations to everyone from Berdella.
She did a great job. It was well managed. Okay, so that's it for council reports. Council, we will go into an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, subsection B and subsection I. We will enter an executive session to discuss the acquisition of real estate as well as active litigation with our attorney. The session will last approximately 20 minutes, and action is expected after this session.
What about the kids?
My question is there two different subjects, or are they all related to Church Road?
Two separate.
Can we have the non-Church Road subject first?
We could do that. Okay, so now we'll get the students out, we'll sign all your sheets, and then we'll kick everybody out and go into executive session. Students,
daily or just a one-time shot?
It's I think you have to publish for 2 weeks, so it's two consecutive publications. Plus then the certified mailing.
So it's not a daily thing in the Herald.
No,
it's Ingram?
I'd like to move the adoption of the settlement agreement between the City of Ferndale and Hagen Briar Development Company.
Second.
Okay, we're moving seconded. Further discussion with Councilperson Watson.
There was a contingency that they signed.
Yeah.
I would suggest that the approval be subject to and contingent upon the simultaneous execution of the agreement by the City and by Hagen Briar.
Correct. I was going to say that, but my headache stopped me.
Second agrees with that?
Yes.
Okay. Further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Councilperson Hansen has removed himself from the proceeding. Okay. Second issue? We don't have to vote on that.
No.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
We are adjourned.
They run out the door.
Can we discuss that?